In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh, yeah.
Let's all go to the
time lobby. To talk movies.
Let's
Pass the Popcorn. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joins us right here in studio. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good. We were just comparing snow removal notes, so we both got out of it okay.
Yeah, we did all right. We did all right. Like I was saying to you, a little bit of regret for not going out and doing the preemptive strike there Saturday afternoon. I went out, got up around, it was probably around 9 o'clock, on Sunday morning and just, got after her, as they say.
Yeah.
When you look outside and it's like, oh, so that pile of snow at the end of my driveway is about, it's about chest high. And it's had plenty of time to really settle down.
Yeah.
So that took some doing, but we got there. It's all good.
Well, let me ask you this, because I asked Abby this. Weekdays, to me, all bets are off because people got to go to work. But on a Sunday morning, when is it too early to snow blow?
It's a great question.
When do you become that neighbor?
See, I'm a late sleeper as a rule. Yeah. I would basically qualify it the same as, instead of like having to clear out so you can get to work, it's like, say, when you are supposed to be at work, that's when you should start on the early side. Like, that's, I started mine at around 9 a.m.
And I waited till Sunday morning till about 8:30.
You're fine.
Anything before that, it's Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I looked out and I didn't see anybody else
there.
Like, so sometimes I'll wait to see, oh, okay, snow blowers are out. I can go out without waking people up on a lovely morning to sleep in.
Yeah. No, I usually, my sort of guidepost is, we have neighbors across the street who are pretty considerate about that sort of stuff. And, it's like, once they start, it's like, okay, I can probably go ahead and start now.
Yeah. It's like mowing the lawn, like on a weekend. I'm not going to start that. I'm certainly not going to start doing that before like 8. And even then, I usually wait till after 9.
You just feel a little weird about it.
And, yeah.
But with the snow blowing and stuff, like, everybody's doing it. So.
Sure. And some people have to go somewhere just because I'm not working.
Yes. Just because I have literally nowhere to be.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you don't have plans or whatever.
Right. My whole goal was get it done as early as I could so I could just be a slug in the house the rest of the day.
Yeah, that was I pushed through. It took considerably longer than it usually does. It's funny. We took Stella out for her last sort of evening constitutional on Saturday night. It was pretty bad out there. Like, there was a lot of our next door neighbor was out sort of trying to shovel his sidewalk, and I'm like, "Man, don't worry about it. Just like, are you guys good for the night? Like, I'll clear it out. I'll open up the end of your driveway, all that stuff, when I go out in the morning." And, he's like, "Oh, okay, great." And felt really good about myself until the time came when it's like, oh no, I said I would do that. I have to get up and go ahead and do that thing.
This being a good neighbor is not all it's cracked up to
be. It's rough. It's rough sometimes. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm glad. I'd rather be a good neighbor than a bad one.
Right. Right. There you go. Well, get ready for more. You get another chance to shine.
Good Lord. I tell you what. Well, we got lucky because we thought that it was supposed to start on Friday, this past storm. And we were on our way back from Southern Maine for Stella's checkup. A thousand thumbs up.
Excellent.
You know that when you have a doctor who's essentially, I can't say that we've beaten this.
Right.
But, because it's obviously like you don't know what's going to happen. What's
it, 2 years now?
This marks actually this is the 1 year.
1 year.
Mark of the end of her treatment.
Okay.
And so she's a year cancer free.
That's awesome.
By all accounts, everything continues to be great.
Go so, Stella.
Right.
Love it. That's great news. Best news of all right there.
I agree 100%.
Ginger sends her high paws as well.
Excellent. Love
Very
to hear
good.
It.
Well, let's talk movies. Not much in the way of new theatrical releases, huh?
Yeah, not a ton. It's funny, and it's one of those things where, you know, we've talked about the sort of notion of dumpuary and all this. But the reality is, it's like they're just, it feels like it's been a while since, you know, there was a weekend when theaters were open that we did not get a new wide release. And it's funny, the top 10 at the box office is essentially unchanged in order. The amount of money is obviously considerably less. But yeah, you know, it's still I'm mystified, but you know, the Spider-Man made another $11 million this weekend. Like, it's just like people are just going to keep going to see Spider-Man, yeah. I guess, until something new comes along. Yeah, there are a couple of new releases hitting theaters this weekend, so hopefully that'll get the ball rolling again. I got one movie from Netflix, one movie from HBO Max. We've got Home Team, and we've got The Fallout. Which one would you like to speak about first?
Well, and you tease this by saying very different in tone.
Yes.
I don't know. Let's go with The Fallout for no reason at all.
Okay. First of all, this is by far the better of the two movies. It's on HBO Max. It made its debut at South by Southwest last year, and it's a debut, a feature debut by a writer director by the name of Megan Park, and it's the story of the aftermath of a school shooting.
Ooh,
yes, very heavy. But extremely well done and handled in a way that is perhaps as thoughtful and nuanced as you could expect from something that's so emotionally charged. But yeah, the basic gist is you've got a young woman named Veda, played by Jenna Ortega, who is she's kind of a typical high school student, you know, smart kid. Kind of a quirky sort of offbeat style, you know, has a loving family. You know, her dad, played by John Ortiz, her mom, played by Julie Bowen, and she's got a precocious little sister. She's got her best friend named Nick, you know, and she's just got a very typical kind of life. And then... one day that all gets upended. The circumstances are she winds up, she's in class. She gets an emergency text from her little sister. She goes out into the hallway to find out what the deal is. Turns out her little sister got her first period and was sort of panicking about that. And so Veda kind of talks her down and before going back to class goes into the restroom where she encounters this young lady named Mia, played by Maddie Ziegler, who's sort of the sort of budding influencer at their school, you know, posts a lot of Instagram videos and all that stuff. You know, just one of a cool girl, and Veda's a little uncomfortable, you know, sort of in interacting with her. But then they hear gunfire and they hear screams, and so the two of them hide in a bathroom stall together. You know, just pray that they're going to be okay. And ultimately, they are, at least physically. And what we see afterwards is what happens to Veda as she deals with the emotional, well, fallout of having been part of this process. You know, and various people are dealing with it in different ways. Her best friend, Nick, it drives him toward activism. This Mia girl, the two of them become very close. They've been bonded, obviously, by the trauma of this situation. And the two of them sort of fall into their own insular kind of world where they start making some questionable choices with regard to how they're dealing with these things. Veda's family is very concerned about her. She winds up going to see a therapist, played by Shailene Woodley. And basically, we just watch as she struggles to find some sort of purchase and sort of any sort of traction that will allow her to return to something resembling normalcy. But as we watch, that's easier said than done. And we watch as it all plays out as she very slowly and irregularly tries to make her way back. It's a really wonderfully made movie, and obviously very challenging subject matter. I'm sure, especially for you know, folks like you and your line of work.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're talking about, I'm like, I don't know.
That's got to be hard.
I don't know if I can watch that.
And but I have to say, like, as I said, it's really well made. The performances are excellent. It's a really thoughtful look, and one that it treats it with, like, there's nothing salacious about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I recognize that there's a temptation to sort of integrate that element to it, but it's not about, it's not about the person who pulled the trigger. Like, that's not what this movie is about. It's about what happens next. And in that way, I think it's a very, I think it's a very valuable movie. I think, like, you don't want to saddle any movie with the sort of qualifier important.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's the sort of movie that I think could do some good for people who are either dealing with similar circumstances or just concerned about those circumstances. Mm.
Excellent. All right. And the other end of the spectrum, Home Team. Tell us about that.
Well, it's Adam Sandler.
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
Not starring.
Oh.
Yes. Only producing. This is part of his deal with the folks at Netflix. Literally everybody else you see in an Adam Sandler movie. And it's a very wide and... wide net cast by Mr. Sandler.
Sure.
But this movie is ostensibly based on a true story, blah, blah, blah. And it's basically the story of when New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton was suspended due to Bountygate, and he went to Texas and spent a year coaching his kids' sixth grade football team.
Wow.
That's the movie.
Okay.
So Kevin James plays Sean Payton.
All right. Sure. I can see no resemblance there. That makes sense. Yeah.
It's such a weird, like,
Sean Payton must be happy.
Sean Payton's in the movie.
Oh, right.
He has a cameo at the end just like, I will say this up front. You're not surprised that Sean Payton shows up in a cameo, because it's very clear that Mr. Payton and his people had absolute control over how this story was told.
I see now. Okay.
Because you know, for those who are unfamiliar, this is about, I mean, God, 10 years ago now, a little longer.
Yeah.
There was a scandal, they called it Bountygate, where defensive players on the Saints were being paid bounties for injuring opposing players. Word got out. The scandal sort of it almost feels quaint in terms of scandals these days. Among other things, Payton was suspended for a year, no contact with the team, none of that. And so he had to, he was sort of at sea. And so he winds up going to Texas and to spend more time with his son, who as a, he's an NFL coach, eating tape, 20 hours a day, doesn't really have a great relationship with his son. He's divorced. In the movie, his ex-wife, played by Jackie Sandler, Adam Sandler's wife. Don't worry. There are plenty of Sandlers in this movie, just not the big one.
Oh, okay. All right.
goes back to see his son Connor, who is playing football for a very terrible team in Texas.
Till he puts a bounty out on those sixth graders. No.
So he goes, his wife has remarried to it's Rob Schneider. I forget the character's name.
Oh, dear.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, dear.
Some sort of like hippie burnout Looney Tune. And so he's got a very complicated relationship with his son because he hasn't been there. And so he just starts going to the games to watch, ostensibly. meanwhile, the team is coached by a go-getter of a young fella named I forget his name too. Played by Taylor Lautner, best known as the werewolf from the Twilight movies.
Wow. Okay.
His assistant coach is played by Gary Valentine, Kevin James's brother, because it's an Adam Sandler joint, and you can't have Adam Sandler joints without nepotism,
right?
So the team's bad. They're struggling, and then Coach Payton is like, he sees something. He tells the coach, it turns into something good, and then the coach is like, "Well, why don't you help us out, Coach Payton?" And away we go.
Okay.
Ups and downs. You know, the team is bad, then they're good, then they struggle again, and it causes a great deal of friction because what started out as wanting to have fun and get to know his kid turns into, like, I got to win because I'm an NFL coach, so I'm a psychopath. you know, so we see these relationships sort of ebb and flow along the way. Look, this is a bad movie. I'll be upfront about that. I enjoyed it for what it was, which is a lower tier, like, kid sports movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is, really. Okay. And sure, it stars Kevin James, and it's, you know, it's an Adam Sandler joint. So again, you know, you have your extended, you know, throwing up on the field sequence and dudes falling down and all that stuff. But really, it's a bunch of kids who are not good at football getting better at football. You know, sort of battling to, you know, come through for their various, you know, you've got the one kid who's like dealing with the legacy of being Sean Payton's kid. And then you've got another kid whose dad knows that he's one of the better players on the team. And so he's pushing. You've got the big kid who doesn't like contact. You've got the place kicker who can't make a kick whenever his crush is in the stands. It's all this kind of nonsense. And it's perfectly fine. The kids are fine. They're a little hammy in the way that is appropriate for a movie like this.
Sure.
Kevin James is woefully miscast, which seems weird. It's like, oh, yeah, he should be able to be a football coach. But here's the thing. Like, he's clearly not comfortable not doing Kevin James things. And you can't do Kevin James things if you're playing Sean Payton.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't work.
And I have to say, I have never understood the whole Kevin James phenomenon, even back to whatever his god-awful sitcom was that I didn't watch.
Mediocre Man Who Married Up.
Yes.
One of the many.
It was a CBS sitcom, so that's I believe that's required of them, right? Yeah.
It's nice to see, like, the Lautner kid getting some work. Like,
sure,
he's fine.
Sure, right.
You know, he's clearly trying. Well,
and while I'm not going to watch an Adam Sandler movie unless I, you know, have to, or I stumble upon it by accident, at the same time, hey, I appreciate the fact that he's loyal to his people and he's putting folks to work, a lot of whom aren't getting a lot of other roles. And you gotta at least admire somebody who's loyal to his people and keeps them gainfully employed.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Like, it's easy to dunk on Sandler movies, particularly as the ones that he's been making as part of this massive Netflix deal. But the truth is, it's like you said, yeah. Like, he's one of those guys who clearly, like, when he was a teenager or whatever, hanging out with his buds, and it's just like, you know what? If I make it, you're all coming with me.
You're all coming with me.
And he meant it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the thing is, like, a lot of people say those things, and not everybody follows through. And
is Dan Patrick in it? Does he make
it? Dan Patrick is in it.
Of course he's in it, yes.
Yes, of course Dan Patrick shows up. Alan Covert shows up
yes.
for a minute. He also has a producer credit on the movie. Sandler's wife, two of his kids. I mentioned Gary Valentine. One of the director's kids also in it. It's clear why Sandler's not in it, because it's not in Hawaii. But you know, for what it's worth, the people involved seem to be enjoying themselves. The script is questionable. You know, the performances are so-so. But you know, if you like this sort of, like, you know, underdog kids sport movie type thing, like, this is not Mighty Ducks. It's not even Little Giants.
Whoa. Oh my.
But it's but for what it is, it's fine. If you're you know, if you've got an 8-year-old kid who likes football in your house, turn it on, because believe it or not, it's fine. It's fine. Like, they're not gonna hear anything or see anything
that is
inappropriate for children.
Yes.
Which frankly I wasn't sure Sandler was capable of.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Now, is this why Sean Payton left the Saints? Is he beginning an acting career? Did you see some signs that there's some skill there?
Oh my God. It was so funny, because, like, we're watching the movie and I'm sitting there and I'm just like, man, they are really just, there is, you know, considering that it was the inciting incident for all of this, we're not talking about Bounty Gate very much. And then we go through and we get to the end, and then and there he is, and it's just like, oh, eyes, and I'm like Sheridan, see, that's the guy that Kevin James is playing. And she's like, and she looks up from her crocheting, it's like, oh, okay.
Which I think is the perfect reaction. Yeah. All right, there you go. Alan Adams breaking it down for us on Pass the Popcorn. Did I see that you were you doing some binge watching of Succession?
We've been doing some Succession, yeah.
Nice.
A little late to the party, but oh man, it's so good.
Well, I was late to the party too, and I didn't see the first two seasons, and then I think HBO was rerunning season two in anticipation of the start of season three, and I thought, well, I'll jump in and see if it makes sense to me, and I was hooked. Love season two, and then season three. Oh my god!
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. We've got, I think, one or two episodes left in season two before we hit season three. But again, it's like, but that's the thing, and Sheridan and I joke about this all the time. It's like there's just so much
television,
right. And it's just, you know, even if something's really good, like it's hard to find time to commit.
Right. You no one can possibly in this age watch everything good that's out there. There's just so much of it.
Well, and especially when you take into account, like, you know, variances in taste and mm-hmm. all this stuff, it's just like, you know, there were two just in the past couple of weeks, multiple shows have dropped on various services where I'm like, I would love to watch that. I don't know when I'm gonna.
Right.
But, you know, the Kristen Bell murder book spoof,
yeah,
I think is going to be great. I haven't had a chance to check out The After Party on Apple TV Plus. That one's going to be excellent. Yeah. Like, there's just so much stuff, and there's more coming. Like, I think Pam and Tommy is going to be phenomenal,
yeah,
but I haven't had a chance to watch to check that out, you know, and I got advanced screeners of that, and I still haven't had a chance to watch it. You know what I mean?
Succession is so good. And there's just, what a cast.
Well, oh, and God. I mean, you know, Cox kills it. You know, you sit there and you're like, you're sort of consumed by this idea. You're just sitting there. It's like, man, what would I have to do to get Brian Cox to straight up just tell me to F off?
Like, I believe you can go on Cameo and pay him to do it.
I mean, I don't know how much I would pay for that. It is almost certainly an embarrassing amount of money.
Oh yes, yeah. Who wouldn't want that?
But you know, and Jeremy Strong, who's kind of caught a little bit of flack from the New Yorker profile that dropped a month or so ago.
Although defended by Brian Cox and others in the cast, who were like, "Now nah, look, is he obsessive? Yeah. Does it bother us on the set? No, because he's amazing."
Yeah, no, he's performing beautifully. You know, it's always nice to see a Culkin, like,
yeah,
you know, healthy.
Right, right.
You know, Sarah Snook, who I'm not 100% convinced isn't Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki. Matthew McFadden.
Oh, okay, he's great. He's my favorite on there.
Yeah, let's be real. The true love story on that show is it's Tom and Cousin Greg.
Yo, yes, yeah, it's fantastic. Well, good stuff. Enjoy it.
I will.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts on season three when you get there.
Yes, sir.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge talking movies and a little TV as well with us on Downtown.